Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we're running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. I've got this intro down to a goddamn science, if I do say so myself. Anyway, right now we are up to episode 9 of season 3. This one is called The Vengeance Factor. It was written by Sam Rolfe, directed by Timothy Bond. It aired back on November 20th, 1989. In this episode, the crew of the Enterprise have to stop a little bit of raiding being done by a group called the Gatherers and try to reconcile those Gatherers with the race that they left 100 years ago, the Aquamarnians or something like that. And in the meantime, there's a girl who's trying to kill the last remaining members of a clan that she has a blood feud with. That's it. We're going to be joined by Clay to talk about this one. And right after this audio break, we are going to get deep into the Vengeance Factor.
Their raids have made this sector unsafe. They've ransacked our research facilities. Our trade routes have been disrupted.
The Gatherers are elusive. We've only managed to capture a handful of them. But with the Starfleet's help...
Hunting them down is not what I am proposing.
Reconciliation with the Gatherers is impossible. It's been tried. Every time we've offered amnesty, they've rejected it.
When was the last attempt made?
18 years ago.
18 years.
For almost a century now, they've been parasites, moving from star system to star system, living on what they could find or steal.
They're still your people.
No. Captain, you have to understand our history. 100 years ago, before the Gatherers split off from our culture, we were a savage, violent race. Clans battled clans, bloody, vengeful feuds that lasted for generations. But we overcame those ways, all except for the Gatherers.
After a century of wandering, they may be ready to come home.
Despite your progress, you are a divided society, and so it will remain until the Gatherers return to Acma.
The attempt may be futile.
But there is so much to gain. There is so little to lose by the effort. This problem affects us all. Cannot be ignored.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that little audio clip. We are here to talk about the Vengeance Factor. We're joined by Clay. Clay, how are you?
Fuck this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck this episode. I'm fine. Yeah. How are you?
We were on a good roll. Modi had a bad episode. He had the price. I don't know if this one's worse than the price. It's certainly probably equal footing with terms of quality. Apparently, it's tough to... Yeah, well, what are your thoughts? I guess I'll get into it after that.
So, this combines two of my least favorite things in Star Trek. Diplomacy episodes and terrible endings.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say now. We can talk about all that stuff as we go on, but for the bot, I mean, it was fine. It seemed kind of lazy.
But one of your favorite things are groups of people who seem to be ripoffs of Judas Priest cover bands.
Oh, you mean all those guys who are going to the Double Dragon convention? those guys were great. And I mean, there's some quality creepy Riker shit going on.
Let's pick a point. There's a lot of shit that went wrong here. Let's talk about what we liked here.
Okay.
So for a quick breakdown, basically, like I said in the intro, the Enterprise is trying to stop this raiding from a group called the Gatherers, and the Gatherers split from this other group called the Aquamarians or something, Aquamanians, Aquamaniacs, who have basically decided that they're going to abandon their whole thing of blood feuds. Their society was torn apart by these old blood feuds that everyone would just be trying to get vengeance on each other for slights against them.
It's a metaphor for the housing market, right?
Yes, exactly. And when, they're trying to reconcile with the Gatherers, there's one group from this Aquamarians that is genetically modified to be ageless, and she is trying to
carry out her family vengeance upon this other group because her family was virtually wiped out by them 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has this thing where she is basically, Ageless has a virus in her that if she touches someone who's from this specific family that she doesn't like, they die immediately.
Sure, why not?
Why not? It's a super weapon. It's great. It's fantastic. And then Riker falls in love with her. I don't know if he falls in love with her. Riker tries to have sex with her. I think he has sex with her. And then he's forced to kill her.
I don't think he does.
Well, he holds her very tenderly. And then they cut to black. I always assume.
No, he leaves.
He leaves at that point?
Yeah.
Where does he go?
The red alert goes off. And he just leaves. Oh,
Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Anyway, he kills this woman at the end. Fairly unnecessarily, I would say. And then the Acomaniacs reconcile, I guess. I suppose that's it.
I don't even know if they do.
No, because things weren't going well.
Yeah, well, I mean, because the end of that episode, there's no resolution to the argument, as far as I remember, because the girl gets killed, and then the next shot is Riker getting shit-faced at the bar.
Oh, well, the captain goes, he owes Riker a debt. He's like, I am forever in your debts, or something like that. After he kills the girl, he has that weird thing
where
Riker turns to the camera and the guy walks up behind him.
But there's no, like, there's no resolution to the civil argument between the two groups.
No, no. So I don't...
Fuck this episode.
I don't know if it ended. I'll start with what I did like. I kind of liked the idea of groups trying to reconcile,
mm-hmm.
which seemed fine. I kind of like the fact that Picard seems to hate diplomacy.
Much like he doesn't understand science.
Right.
Which is my favorite thing.
He doesn't understand science, and he seems super bored by diplomacy.
As you should be, because it's boring.
Yeah, it is. He's more of an adventurer at heart, right?
Well, yeah, not as much as Kirk, but kind of.
Yeah. I don't know. Picard likes artifacts more than people, probably. He's more of a...
Well, he likes solving problems.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a problem solver. And I guess sometimes, you know, that means doing paperwork. This episode is basically paperwork.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it is. It's And I liked the set design of the place where they meet the Gatherers for the first time. It's basically someone took a whole bunch of pipes and screwed it together.
That looked great.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they spent no money on their outfits.
I think they just used whatever set and outfits they were using for the Motley Crue video they were shooting.
Yeah, they
were in one of those factories that just makes sparks.
That's right. They're dressed like...
I stole that joke from somebody. I don't know.
They're dressed like Animal from the Anti-Nowhere League, if people are into that kind of music. But they're a little absurd. There's a ton of chest hair. What's your big pro? Or what did you like? How about you start off with what you liked, if you liked anything?
That scene, pretty much that whole scene, I liked the way it started because it caught me off guard because they start like in the middle of a story, kind of.
The cold open?
Yeah, the cold open, yeah. Instead of doing a shot from the ship and a captain's log thing.
Oh, that's right.
They show up in that big green room,
yep.
Which for a second I thought was going to be a sequel to the last one that I watched.
The survivors?
Yeah, because it looked like the same outpost.
Oh, sure.
So part of me was like, oh man, that would be awesome if they came back and the whole shit just went, everything went to shit.
It's funny you brought that up because we talked about one with Modi where the same thing happened. I think they started to do this more. It was the episode I talked with him. It was the first time I noticed it. They've now started to move the captain's log after the cold open, which makes so much more sense because
it does.
We always had the problem of when we're talking about it, we're like, when did they say they did that? It's like, I think it was in the captain's log. It's like, oh, I don't even start paying attention until the episode because the captain log is basically Picard says a made up planet with a made up people and they have a made up problem.
Right.
And you cannot focus on anything he's saying.
And so then whatever happens in the episode is only tangentially related to whatever he says.
Right. So it's much better to have the thing happen, and then after the credits, Picard explains what the thing was that we just saw.
Yes.
And you go, okay, that makes sense.
It only took him 50 episodes to figure it out.
Slow steps. Little baby steps. So, you liked that.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked their uniforms are different again. They don't have the seams.
Yeah, the seams in the front.
It's just a solid thing.
Yep.
I liked I liked Gates McFadden's hair.
Yeah.
I liked...
We're getting real... It's like, I like whoever vacuumed the rug on the bridge. It looked really, really fluffy.
I loved the scene right when the girl comes to Riker's place. Right before she shows up, he's like laying down and really passive-aggressively answers whoever calls
Data,
him the communicator.
Data phones in.
And just whacks the chest to shut the communicator off.
Riker, out.
What I actually did like about the episode is the little character beats they gave to the peripheral characters.
Yep.
I liked the quick back and forth Wesley and Data had, where Data gives some overly long explanation, and then Wes is like, dude, it's a campfire.
Campfires, yeah.
That's, you know, that stuff is kind of charming. Sometimes it doesn't fly, but I thought it was all right.
Now entering standard orbit of Gamma Harami 2, sir.
Captain, I'm detecting life readings from the planet's surface, as well as several small areas of thermal radiation and carbon dioxide emissions indicative of combustion.
Campfires, Data.
Is that not what I said?
It's worth a look. Make it so. Data? Worf?
I actually really liked Worf, even though he didn't really do much, but the scene when they were down...
fighting with the gatherers.
In the village of pipes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was a good little character moment where he, you know, they're trying to reason with him. He's like, they only understand this.
Yeah, and holds up his phaser.
Yeah. That was nice.
One of the character beats...
Also, sure. There's one shot where, they're on the bridge and someone's walking over to the control panel, and in the background is Worf and a woman. And as they come over, Worf just leaves. And I was like, was Worf hitting on that woman on the bridge? Because, I mean, if so, you know, you got to get it where you can get it. But
we need an episode out of that, and not about the gatherers. Yeah, you know, one of the beats I liked, the AV Club talked about it quite a bit. They focused on it almost like. I don't know if he was trying to. He liked the episode a little bit more than I did, which is relative because he wasn't crazy about it. But he was just saying that he really found the Riker Troy relationship interesting in this one.
Yeah, I actually was fascinated by that too, because I mean, there's only one scene of them really.
Yes,
but that one scene was.
But it hinges on the plot of his plot, like her. What she does is interesting to expose how those two now relate to each other.
Yeah.
Because for the scene, Riker's been hitting on this blonde Akamarian, and she comes over while he and Troy are sitting in 10 forward eating, sharing food or something. And she's like, oh, and Riker's like, can you join us? She says, oh, I don't want to interrupt. And Troy says, you're not interrupting. She does her little... A nice thing where the show does not go, I sense I'm interrupting, and she walks up, but she has a look on her face. She realizes what's going on. She can obviously feel it.
She knows that she knows Riker well enough that he's totally scoping for a three-way.
Yes.
And
yes.
She is not going to fall for that again.
And she leaves. And it's a fascinating... the AV Club guy was just saying, like, when he was younger and he watched this, he didn't understand because he was too young to understand sort of like how relationships can work. He's like, why aren't Riker and Troy just together?
Right.
Like, what is this bizarre relationship where they have a history, but she's okay with walking off? And in the previous episode, he told her suitor, anyone that makes her happy makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this kind of, it's this.
That's what he also said. He was going to say that to the blonde girl later.
He was. And I just thought it was a nice touch. But I thought the funniest line of this episode was when the blonde girl goes into Riker's quarters and she's like the high priestess or whatever the hell that woman is. She's like, she said I could have spent some time with you because you seemed interested. And Riker goes totally unironically, was I that obvious?
Yeah. Oh, my other favorite part of that scene was at the end when they're like 1980s broadcast television trying to dance around the fat saying like fucking.
Yes.
Where they're like, well... It's basically the equivalent of being like, well, when a man and a woman love each other very much.
Yes. it was in some weird, like, was it BDSM where he's like, I don't want you to be my slave. I want you to be my...
Well, I mean, you know, that stuff I understand. Like, he's into strong women or whatever,
yep.
Which is why he probably should have had a thing with Tasha Yar, but yes. That's neither here nor there. But, like, the language they end up using with each other gets really intense really quickly.
Yes.
Because they can't just say what they're trying to say because it's on television.
Right.
It's not anything, like, super dirty or gross or anything, but it gets kind of that way because it's like she says something and she like alludes to not being able to have any pleasure during sex.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, don't you want to make me feel happy? I want to make you feel as happy as you're going to make me. It's like, ugh.
No, it's, ugh. It's the tone.
Put that oil
thing.
Away.
It's put that oil down. It's the tone thing. We've talked about it. Like that's my main problem with Pulaski. Pulaski didn't fit the tone of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And when they start talking sexy, it does not fit the tone of Next Generation.
It doesn't fit
at
the
all.
Tone of Pulaski when she starts talking sexy.
When Pulaski starts.
That's when I thought she shined, really.
It's more, I hate to keep saying on previous episodes, but it seems to be like themes. In another episode, it has that weird scene where Crusher and Troy are stretching in front of a mirror. It's a very famous scene.
Yeah.
But Crusher has a line like, Troy doesn't want to get in a relationship with this guy, and Crusher goes, because it's irrational, it wouldn't make sense. And Crusher goes, who needs rational when he can make your toes curl? And I just like vomited
Damn.
In my mouth. I was like, Star
Damn,
Trek.
Beverly.
You can't be saying things like this. And
don't let Riker hear you say that.
Oh my God. It's this weird, because the show is so bland, for
yeah.
lack of a better word. It's weird when they start trying to like sneak in a little bit of sexy talk into it.
The fact that anybody is having a relationship with anyone.
Yeah. Seems
feels
crazy.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I feel like they don't even have sex to have kids. They probably just do in vitro. All like,
yeah.
you know, it's just like we don't need.
Or they
this.
Use that cloning machine
right.
where it just
they
creates
just replicate people.
Yeah,
they use a transporter.
It's
Murphy.
It's really strange because you know everybody on this ship is supposed to be you know human or part of the Federation, which is basically slang for human.
Yep.
But they all come off like the alien from the day the Earth stood still, where
yeah.
they're like very
yeah.
blank. When it comes to anything other than, you know, what they're...
The job.
Yeah, yeah. They're very blank. And it's like the fact that anything interesting would happen on the ship or like... I bet no one uses any of the good stuff in the holodeck database.
Right,
because
yeah.
they're all just so boring.
They use it to like tune up the engines. They're like, I need a facsimile of the engineering room so I
yeah.
can fiddle with it. It's like, that sounds kind of bull. But yeah, it's... I didn't buy the continue. Well, I guess we'll just track with the Riker thing. I didn't buy. There's not enough time to devote his relationship to this woman.
Well, there's at least as much time as there was in the Space Irish episode, where it was like, "Hey, you want to go back to my fuck pad?"
She felt like more of a fling, though.
Yeah,
like she.
That's true. This girl, he's kind of like gaga over for.
Yeah, and he's like cradling her head
because she's a cook.
When he hears that dramatic music cue and he like grabs her head and cradles it against his, it's all very weird. I don't buy it. You know, and there's not enough time to dedicate it. He figures out that she's the one killing people. He goes down there and kills her. I'm not even sure why he had to kill her.
Oh, I'm going to get into this. Don't worry. I'm going to talk at length about this.
So we'll wait for the ending. But so I didn't buy any of the, what is her name? Yuna, right? Luna?
Utah or something?
Yuda. Maybe Yuda?
Yuda.
Yeah.
Yuda.
Yeah. Yudakin Peninsula, something like that. She is a whatever the fuck. She's a Trelasta or something like that. And she's trying
Such
to kill the Lornax.
Racist asshole.
Trying to kill the Lornax. And, you know, Riker cracks the case by figuring out through a unbelievably dumb scene. I just want to talk about that picture scene.
God.
Where there's a picture of this guy 50 years ago getting killed. And they go, this is the day he died. This is what happened. And Data goes, I think I found the answer to what happened. And they all look at it. They go, what? And he's like, look behind that person. There's a person there.
Yeah.
In front of this girl who's in the picture, completely obscuring the girl. You
yep.
can see like the corner of her face.
You can see her little forehead.
Yeah, forehead.
Crinkle.
And Data's, and they're like, and Riker and Crusher look at it like, what? What is that? And Data's like, the computer can interpolate somehow. It can just figure out from a sliver of a person.
Well, you know, it's like how you find a skull and you can recreate what the face looks like based on musculature. It's kind of like that, only not real.
Exactly.
And a lot dumber.
And it's 100% dead on.
Yeah.
The computer just gets it. And then, so he phases out thing. He does like advanced Photoshop and she comes in and they all gasp.
Enhance.
It took
Enhance.
Like 5 minutes for that to happen. I don't understand how Data knew it in the first place because he didn't do the work before
yeah.
figuring it out. it was just, it felt like they were like, we need 5 minutes here where you need to, obviously figuring out this crime is not very impressive, so let's try to stretch out the time it took to figure it out.
Yeah, I hate when shows that are shot on cameras don't understand how cameras work.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I guess you could, I mean, if you've got a machine on the ship that can accurately create 5-degree temperatured water out of a thin air, I guess they could have a machine that could create the rest of a face based off of like 1/16th of the face.
But that would be like the replicator gave you exactly what you wanted with you giving it no information. Like they would just say, I want liquid, and it gave you water at 5 degrees. And I
would like a clear earth-based liquid right. In some sort of receptacle.
In a comfortable temperature for drinking.
Preferably on the cool side.
Just pulls it out. It's just kind of that silliness. I mean, I didn't like the Riker storyline. That the way they solve it is ridiculous. The gatherers are moronic. I don't understand. It's only been 100 years. Why are they so different from each other?
I don't know.
They're night and day.
Because one of them broke into a leather shop. And yeah. The other one's broke into a Joanne's Fabric shop.
Yeah, one of them got heavy into guar, and the other one got into like Joan Baez or something. But it's very silly. The gatherers' interactions with each other are silly. What'd you think of the gatherers, hunter gatherers, or whatever they call them?
They look like, again, much like a lot of the characters in the show, when they're trying to make them look cool, they end up looking like I think in the outrageous Okana, I mentioned that he looked like a Marvel Comics character from the early 90s that was meant to look cool.
Yep.
These guys look like Marvel Comics characters from the 90s that are meant to look like they're from the future. Where it's all shoulder pads and like spikes and...
Who's the... is it Lobo? Is that the comic character? He's like the biker.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So they kind of look like
that. Actually... There's a character called... they had this short-lived line of comics called the 2099 comics.
Yep.
And which took place in the year 2099, and they had all these...
Spider-Man and everything.
They had one brand new character whose name was Ravage, and they all look like him. Okay. They almost, like, down to a T, look like Ravage 2099. not a good time for comics.
Yeah, why do you need 2099 if he's the only one? I guess you just want to fit it into that sort of timeline.
Yeah, just to fit it into the line.
Interesting. I mean, the Gatherers... Is the lead gatherer, like the head guy... Who's a terrible actor. Is that a famous actor? Do I know him? Is he the guy in Terriers? Or is that he just look like him?
Donald Logue?
Yeah, is that him? Okay.
No, he's way too old to be Donald Logue.
Okay.
I don't know who it is.
He's atrocious. He's a terrible actor.
I don't understand exactly what... Well, I guess they were stealing stuff, but why... Okay, so I may as well get in... Can I get into what I didn't like about this episode?
You are the Clan Lornak.
What of it? I've seen you before.
Yes.
What? It's impossible.
No. Look closer. I am Yuta of the Clan Trelesta. I am the last of my line, but my clan will outlive yours.
So first of all, after the first scene where they show up in that green room and they find out that they stole some giant battery or whatever.
Yeah.
The next scene, they meet up with the high priestess or whoever, and she's like, yeah, these hunter-gatherer people, these hunters, the gatherers have been a thorn in our side for 100 years, and we want your help to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In my head, I immediately went, okay, I know exactly how this is going to go, and I wrote a better episode in my head in 30 seconds than this episode turned out to be.
Sure. Did it deviate from where Picard says we don't hunt them down? Or is that, was that your idea?
That, well, what I thought they were going to do was, I thought it was going to be the High Priestess, because they're the same race, right?
Yeah.
So I thought the High Priestess was going, the Green Room thievery was going to be a setup, sure. So they could use the Federation to hunt this group down.
Yep.
And then the twist, you know, the turn was going to be like, well, we don't do that, you know, it's at the end, that kind of thing. Which I said, because at first I was like, oh, I know exactly where this is going. And then it didn't go that way, but it didn't go that way in a way that made it better.
Right.
Or surprising.
Yep. That episode is called The Hunted. What you're talking about is coming up pretty soon, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I should get a writing credit on that episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I mean, what they ended up doing, like I said, was like, I didn't really care.
No.
Why they were trying to find these guys, and like, why were they trying to get them to come back? Just so they would stop raiding places?
Yeah, I think it's weird because the Federation is ostensibly in this just because they want to get their shit stopped being stolen, which is kind of a weird, like, very non-Federation-y kind of angle to go in. Be like, would you please stop stealing our stuff? Just hang out with your buddies over here.
I guess that's not a Prime Directive thing. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, it's not a lot of time. 100 years is 2 generations.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's no time scale here where I'm like, oh, this is an impressive amount of time that things have changed. You know, the stakes here feel very low. I think it's because there's too many stories going on. I think to make this episode better, you could completely eliminate the Yuka or Yuta storyline.
Yeah,
I don't
probably.
Understand why she's there.
Well, so the ending of this episode pissed me off so, so much.
Mm-hmm.
3 seats on the ruling council.
If we're going to be subject to your law, we want a part in making it.
Well, I agree you're entitled to representation, but not on the ruling council.
Unacceptable. The real power is in the council. You are shutting us off already.
No, you're trying to take too much. No group has 3 seats on the council.
I don't care what others have.
You only care about what you can take.
Sovereign, if the situation were reversed, I'm sure you would be demanding equal levels of representation.
You're right, Captain. I apologize for my temper.
Perhaps a brief pause would be helpful.
I agree. Maybe a little touch of that brandy.
Yuta.
You know, thank you. It is remarkable how very much alike the two of you actually are.
That's ridiculous.
Really, Captain.
No, I'm quite serious.
You are both able negotiators, strong leaders.
We don't obey weak leaders.
We have nothing in common at all. We haven't agreed to anything.
You're wrong, Chorgan.
We've agreed to have some brandy together.
Don't move!
A Federation trap!
Chorgan, I assure you, my first officer has a very good reason for his actions.
You do, number one.
Yuta, move away from Shorgan. Do it.
Why?
Because of a man you once knew named Penthar Maul.
Penthar Maul? How do you know Penthar Maul?
Tell him, Yuta.
I don't understand.
You were with Penthar Maul when he died.
It was 50 years ago. How could I?
I know, Yuta. Stop! Chorgan, keep perfectly still. Your life is in danger. Step back, Yuta.
William, this is not your concern.
It is now. You're about to commit a murder.
It isn't murder! It's justice!
Who are you?
Yuta of the clan Trelesta.
There are no more Trelestas.
5 survived the last Lornak raid. But on that day, a century ago, my life ended, and my search began. I was the one chosen, transformed. My cells were altered,
My aging slowed. Enough to finish my task.
You used me in order to get to the last few you couldn't reach.
Yes, Sovereign.
You will never leave this ship alive.
You're the last. Once you're dead, what happens to me doesn't matter.
The wars are over, Yuta.
You cannot understand.
You're right, I can't. Because I've seen the part of you that regrets what you've become. Listen to me. You don't have to do this anymore.
I have no choice.
You do.
William, I'm sorry.
Stop! Yuta. Don't do this. Commander, I am in your debt.
What the fuck? Why does he fucking kill her? Why does he do that? There is no reason for that to happen. Why does anybody else let it happen? Picard's sitting right there.
Why does the guy she's trying to kill not get out of his chair and move away?
Well, right, because Riker says, whatever you do, don't move. Why is that? I don't know, because he needs to sit there, because it's not an airborne virus, because she's got to touch the guy, so if he gets up and leaves, then that's a problem solved. And someone can tackle her.
And it's also weird, Riker never explains, I don't think, what will happen if she touches him. Like, there's never any explanation of what the...
He's killing her because she wouldn't sleep with him. That's why he did it.
Yeah.
No, but he blasts her with the stun thing, and then he keeps turning the power up. What the fuck? Like, and he turns it all the way up, and it's like there's like some knowing glance between them where he's like, I'm going to fucking fry you now.
Well, and the other, I mean, the downside of her power is anyone except for the one in the million can just grab her, and you aren't hurt. So you could just have Worf go, I have you now.
Yeah, literally anyone.
And stop her.
Or, I don't know, beam yourself in between the two of them.
AV Club said, why not beam her back to the ship where she can't hurt anybody?
You could do that. Yeah. You could, Picard could jump across the table. You could beam Riker in between the two of them. Yeah. You could, I don't know, shoot her in the legs.
Yeah.
You don't have to, disintegrate. Riker effectively commits genocide because he kills the last person.
Yeah, he does. He kills the last Telestis.
The telenovela.
And the Lornak land survive.
It made me so fucking mad. And the fact that the next scene, Picard comes in and he's like, he doesn't even mention it. He doesn't even be like, hey, dude, what the hell, man?
He
just offers him more shore leave.
He offers him shore leave. He's like, maybe after brutally killing that woman, you need some shore leave. And it's also unclear if Riker is taking the shore leave. He seems like he's not.
No,
go
I don't think
shore
he
leave.
Is. Yeah,
he's
just going to like, I'll tell everybody else, but I'm not taking it because I'm going to sit here and stew.
I'm going to sit here and slam this drink.
Oh my God. A fucking awful ending.
I mean, I think the ending seems to me like they're like, we have zero stakes here. Someone needs to die.
Yeah.
And there was a review I was reading, which makes sense. And like in revenge storylines, there's almost always collateral damage. Like the revenge causes other problems. On your way to get revenge, you cause a tremendous amount of hurt for like other people.
And like the movie Collateral Damage.
Right. And she can't do that. So it's like no one else is really affected. And the people who she is affected, you don't care. One's a super old man who has a line. The other guy's this terrible actor with a bad haircut. So no one cares.
This is the one time I will ever say this about anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make this ending better, give her a gun.
Yeah.
Give her something. Give her a weapon. Why does it have to be this weird space virus? I mean, and why the fuck is she 100 years old?
Yeah.
Who did that? Who made her 100 years old? All of her people are dead.
Yeah, she tosses it off in one hand. She's like, there were five of us. I was chosen. I don't know why they didn't do it for everybody. It would make better odds. She's like, I was chosen to have genetic engineering or something. It would have been, I mean, to make higher stakes if you...
That's why I can't sleep with you, because my uterus is 100 years old.
There's a lot of cobwebs. The...
Smells like the Great Depression.
That's probably like an offensive thing to say to women or something at this point. But
yeah, maybe we should cut that out.
Cobwebs in your vag. The problem is here. They sacrifice the old guy in terms of plot, right? They're like, we need to show the audience what exactly is going to happen.
Yeah.
If you had just had the leader be the last Lornak, and she goes in with like a bomb, you know, and everyone's in danger. Maybe there's some stakes there, and then yeah. Riker has to like shoot her arm off or something with his phaser. It's just super low stakes.
And I know they do it. I know they've done it before, and I know they do it in Wrath of Khan. But why is the highest setting on those guns like total protonic reversal?
Setting 16. That's just what happens.
Like
blow a hole in you.
I don't know.
There's a lot of settings on it too. You have to hit the button.
Yeah. Quite a while to get. It's just like he's turning the volume up on his TV.
Yeah, it's like, what if you just want to stunt somebody and you're all the way at the top, you know, and you're like, oh, fuck. You're just like pounding the button to get the
get
thing.
Get another
all the
way down. One, I guess. I don't
know. Shoot him in the leg. Oh, what if you shot them in the. Does 16 always destroy the whole person? What if I shot
apparently.
Them
in, yeah. Apparently, it just like spreads over the whole body, because that's not an effect. That's not a good weapon at all.
And thank God Riker hit her.
Yeah. Picard was right behind her. One thing I thought was really funny was it occurred to me as I've been watching this show, and I do enjoy the show, and I try not to watch it through like Galaxy Quest glasses.
Yeah.
But as I've been watching it, more things have been standing out to me where I'm like, all right, I understand why people think this is a silly show.
Yep.
Like even simple things where it's just, if you have a scene where Worf is talking to somebody about something technical, it's like, all right, yeah, if you're not into this, I can see why this is the dumbest thing you've ever seen.
Yes.
Yep. And this time where it occurred to me was when they were down on the pipe planet and they were having their laser fight.
Yep.
And in my, cause both of the lasers go, psh, 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 psh. In my head, I was thinking, if that was a real-life laser fight, it would be completely silent, and it would basically be people shining flashlights at each other.
Just a wide shot of just those. It's like, the laser tag that we were playing out in Reading or wherever that was. Yeah, just like, you see a light shining through a pen light. That's basically what it would have. I mean, it's... Yeah, the show... The show is weird because it's on the cusp of aging. It's like right at that turn where television starts to get a little bit more modern.
Right.
The later seasons are probably, I'd assume, would have to be a little bit better at it, but we're still in 1989, which is the surprising part.
You can hide a lot of that stuff in a sci-fi show if you're, you know, well, if you're choosing to not decorate your ship like it's a strip club for Miami Vice, tend to do.
Yeah.
You can hide that stuff by making it look futuristic a bit.
Yep.
But yeah, you're right. It's like right on the line.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's. I think we've covered this episode. Let's get to our final thoughts, which we will... I'll play a little audio clip. We'll come back with our final thoughts.
New orders from Starfleet. The rendezvous... Nothing, thank you. Rendezvous with the Goddard has been postponed.
In the meantime?
Starbase 343. We're going to take on medical supplies for the Alpha Leonis system.
Sounds pretty routine.
Well, with the gatherer truce in effect, certainly should be. We won't require a full ship's complement. I'm going to extend shore leave on the starbase to anyone who wants it.
I'll pass that along to the crew, Captain.
Final thoughts time. Clay, on our scale of 1 to 5, what would you give the vengeance factor?
For 90% of it, I was giving it like a 2.5, but that ending is like, it's almost, I would almost call it irresponsible.
This is bad, and you should feel bad.
Why does he not get like fucking court-martialed or something?
Yeah.
You know, like not even Picard knows what's going on. Riker just shows up and fucking murders a woman.
Well, he has that weird thing. Riker shows up, shoots the gatherer, and then the other guys are like, it's a Federation trap. And then Picard goes, I'm sure my first officer has a great explanation.
Yeah.
Riker, please explain why you killed that man just now and why you're shooting this woman repeatedly in a weird, torturous way.
Like, imagine if he just showed up and just axed her in the face or something. Like, how does nobody, no one even like flinches?
No.
It's, and it's like after he does it, everyone's like, clearly that was what needed to be done.
Yeah. My debt is in your hands.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to give it... Oh, sorry. So did you
get it? And they don't even get their battery back at the end, do they?
Did the battery matter, or was it just the principle of not having a battery?
I don't know. After this, the fact that William T. Riker is still a commander on a starship after that just makes me lose all faith in the Federation.
You know, the opening scene had another weird line. Well, the line is actually right after that, where they find the scientists that were robbed. Like, they find them in that broom closet or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They're not dead, which is interesting. Beverly says they've been shot on stun multiple times, and Picard goes, multiple times?
Oh, yeah. That's weird, because that's what happens at the end.
Were they torturing them? I mean, it's weirdly similar to
that's what made me think it was a setup.
Okay.
Because that, now that I'm remembering, that plus finding the blood on the piece of metal.
Yep.
So I was thinking it was a setup because, oh, they purposely didn't kill these Federation members.
Mm-hmm.
And they left blood there to tie it to this other group of people.
Oh, I see.
So that's why I thought, oh, it must be a setup. So technically they didn't kill anybody. You know, nobody got hurt, but they're still using that act to get the Federation to go after these gatherers.
And why did the Federation scientists have that weird dagger sword? Because they stabbed one of the other gatherers.
Was it? I thought it was just like a piece of metal. I didn't even know.
Oh, was it? I thought it was like a dagger thing. Maybe it was just a piece of metal.
Yeah, I don't know. I could be wrong. I thought it was a jagged piece of metal.
My other memoir. So what'd you think? Two or one? You were going to give it a 2.5, which seems generous to me.
I can't give it a one. I can't give it a one because I've seen ones. Yeah, I've seen the mud monster kill Tasha Yar. I guess I have to go with a two.
Yeah,
I mean, like I said, the rest of it was just kind of like a middle of the road, not really good Star Trek episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the end of it is just so bad. You know, it's weird because I think it would have. It's another episode that in the first season would have been a lot worse. Because I think they've dialed in some of their set design better.
Yep.
So like you're saying, it's on the cusp of feeling dated,
yep.
But it's getting to that point where the fact that it, like, not to harp on my favorite, Angel One again,
sure.
But the art design and everything of Angel One is just so bad,
yep.
And so dated. That right. It just amplifies how shitty the stuff they're doing is.
Yeah.
This one, I think they cover it a little bit by having it actually, it doesn't feel like, you know, it feels like what I remember of Star Trek and not like the dated Star Trek.
Yeah. That's funny because I was watching this. I was thinking it's the, this episode reminded me strongly of season one. Like, yeah. I could see this happening in season one with just sort of like the weird groups that don't tonally have anything to do with the general plot, like, yeah. Things are just kind of stuck together. And in the previous episodes of season three, at least the storylines have the same tone, the good episodes. Like, everything kind of makes sense when you put it all together. This one, I didn't feel like any of this made any sense when you put it together.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's a... I'm going to give it a two. I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5. I don't think it's... It's probably a weak two,
yeah.
Two at that point, where they're a strong two. I'm going to give this one a weak two. It's borderline a one.
Yeah.
Because I can't really... I don't feel the need to watch this one ever again.
Never.
You know?
On a scale of 1 to 5, I give this a solid fuck this episode.
That's fair. Is this better than The Price?
I don't... I didn't see
you
that
weren't
one,
there so for that. I'm trying... That's kind of my... No, I'll give it a two. I'll agree with you. I'll give this one a two.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. It's like barely a two.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Deep into it. The Vengeance Factor. Well, thank you, Clay. Coming back.
Yeah, I guess. I mean...
It gets better, right?
Listen, I just don't know if I can really get behind anything that... I mean, if they're not prosecuting their own member... Like, who watches The Watchmen? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like, if we can't, like... If they can't, like, be responsible for themselves, how are they supposed to be responsible for us?
That's true. You
know what I'm saying?
What? Yeah, yeah. Life's a circle. Life is but a flat circle, like time. Tough one, huh?
Yeah. What's the next one? Put it on. We'll put it on right now.
Cleanse the palate. Well, thank you, Clyde, for coming back.
We better talk for like 3 hours about yesterday's Enterprise at this point.
It's coming, guys, right? 10 episodes. There's a few other good ones mixed in, but yeah, we'll get to it in due time. If you guys enjoyed the content today, you're listening on YouTube, a like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, a like or a rating or review, rather, is much appreciated. It helps us get out there to a wider audience. Thank you for everyone with the kind words, everyone who writes in, everyone who talks to me on Twitter. Very much appreciated. We're back on schedule, season 3. This is the, what is it, the bump in the road? This has been the first major bump in the road. It all gets better from here.
Sinkhole, really.
Sinkhole, yeah. It's the San Francisco.
No, I'm exaggerating. Like I said, it's just the ending. I mean, the rest of it's kind of just forgettable, but that ending is terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Not a good one, though. The vengeance factor. You guys, I think you can skip it. Anyway, Clay, thanks again.
Anytime.
See you guys.